Now Paul says in verse 13, "For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh." Now, the very interesting thing is that those who today claim they live by law are not actually living by law. I believe that the thing that has made more hypocrites than anything else are these people who tell you that they live by the Sermon on the Mount. And may I say, I know that to be true of the experiences that I've had in my ministry. And I can just cite one. I spoke many years ago at a luncheon at the Chamber of Commerce in Nashville, Tennessee, when I was pastor there. And one of my elders, a banker, was president of the Chamber of Commerce that year. And so he invited me, a young pastor, I wasn't even married then, it was my first church, to come up and speak. Well, I got there a little early, and there was another man there up at the speaker's table, and he was an official in it. And I never heard a man curse as that man did. I tell you, he could swear more than any man, and I've heard some that were experts at it, by the way. But this man seemed to be the champion. And so finally, in our conversation, and I never attempted to say anything to him, he said to me, "By the way," he says, "what's your racket?" That was the way he asked it. And, well, I said, "I'm a preacher." And he looked at me in amazement. He said, "Are you the speaker today?" And I said, "Yes." And he began then to tread water fast. He said to me, he says, "Well, now I want you to know that we're glad to have you, and I want you to know I'm a Christian." Well, that was certainly new, because I'd never gathered it by the way he talked. And then he enlarged on it. He told me that he was a member. In fact, he was a member of a very fashionable church in Nashville, and he was one of the officers of the church. He was a prominent man. And believe me, he was telling me about the wonderful things that he did and all that sort of thing. And then he concluded this tirade of words by saying, "You know," he says, "the Sermon on the Mount," he says, "is my religion." Well, I said, "Fine." I said, "That's great." And I shook hands with him, and I said, "How are you coming with it?" He looked at me rather puzzled. He said, "What do you mean by how am I coming with it?" Well, I said, "You say the Sermon on the Mount is your religion. I'd just like to know if you're living by it." "Well," he says, "I try to live by it." Well, I said, "I know, but that's not what the Sermon on the Mount's all about. It puts down a pretty severe standard, and it hasn't anything in there about trying. You either do it or you don't do it. And now you say it's your religion, I assume you do it." "Oh, well," he said, "I certainly try." And then I began to push him a little. I said, "Well, do you keep it?" And he said, "Well, I guess I do." Well, I said, "Let's see if you do." I said, "The Lord Jesus said that if you're angry with your brother, you're guilty of murder. How do you make out on that one?" "Well," he said, "now that one, I might have a little trouble there, but," he said, "I think I'd get by there." Well, I said, "Let's try the other one that he lifted to the nth degree." He said, "If you so much as look upon a woman to lust after, you're guilty of adultery." I said, "How about that one?" "Oh," he said, "that one would get me." Well, I said, "I thought it would. But is the Sermon then on the Mount your religion? I'd just like to know." "Oh, I try to." I said, "Look, you're not keeping it. If I were you, I'd change my religion and get one that I could, you know, do something with it." You see what he was, actually. He was a hypocrite. He was around telling everybody the Sermon on the Mount is his religion. He was breaking it at every turn. I'm of the opinion that it also says something about God's name being holy, and blessed are the pure in heart. Believe me, that man wouldn't get anywhere living by the Sermon on the Mount. You see, he needed the grace of God. And there are multitudes of people today in our churches that are just like that. And Paul is mentioning that now, and he says this tremendous statement, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And so between Paul and the world, there was a cross. And that is the position that every believer should be in today. The cross between him and the world. And that'll have more to do with shaping your conduct than anything else. And also, you'll not boast of the fact that you're keeping the Sermon on the Mount, or that you belong to a certain church, or you're an officer, or you're a preacher, or you're a Sunday school teacher. You will not be able to boast of anything. You'll just glory in the cross of Christ. And that is the position that Christians ought to have, and not in a local church, or in an organization, or in an individual, but in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the one, of course, who died on that cross.